said,
I was afraid you were going to get me for it. I told you the truth that I couldn't work.
That's right, Hugo. He told you the truth.
He says, I've forgotten all about that. He says, but I'm going to warn you, Skeeter. He says, no more of this nonsense, okay? He says, I want to make a truce. You do? He says, yeah. He says, no more tricks. He said, well, sure, Hugo. He said, no more tricks, I promise. He says, all right. And he says, I promise I'll not play any tricks on you. He said, shake? Skeeter said, sure, we'll shake. So they shook hands on it. Skeeter came back, he was real happy. Jackie, you know what happened? He said, Hugo and I made a truce. Jackie looked at him, a truce with Hugo? He said, that's like making a truce with the rattlesnake. He said, you don't believe him? He says, I don't, maybe you do. So the next few days, Hugo did keep his word. Nothing happened, everything was fine. And in the meantime, there were two new boys moved in to the dormitory. And that left only one vacant room, the one next to the attic door going upstairs. And it was a great affair in the evening when the two boys arrived. They were brought to Mr. Woodward's table by the headmaster. Mr. Woodward stood up, the boy stood up. Good evening, headmaster. He said, well, Mr. Woodward, you're the only one whose dormitory isn't full. And I see you have a couple vacant chairs. I have two new boys for you. The boys all looked and they saw a rather short little boy. And they all looked at him. Skeeter looked at him. And he almost saw his own self in him. And finally he looked over and he saw a bigger boy. He said, this is Mike and John. Mr. Woodward nodded. He says, welcome, boys. He says, you may sit over here. So they sat down and they were rather bashful at first and didn't know the rules. Finally, Skeeter, who was sitting across from Mike, happened to look over there and saw that Mike didn't have his napkin on his lap at all. And he said, hey, Mikey, yoo-hoo. He said, that thing that you have on your, by your plate there, you're supposed to put it on your lap. Mike looked up and down the table and took it and put it on his lap. He said, that's right. And finally, the boys watched what everybody else was doing. Mr. Woodward finally dismissed the group. He says, I'll see you in your rooms in a few minutes, boys. He says, it'll give you a chance to get it straightened up. He said, remember, we have room inspection. He says, the other boys will tell you the rules and regulations. He said, I'll see you in class tomorrow. Yes, sir. So the next few days, Jackie and Skeeter and Bowie and Mogai and all of them were rather busy with the new boys, showing them their chores and where to go and what to do and so forth. And as time went on, the boys were so busy that they'd forgotten all about the 2 weeks that have long gone. And one evening while they were studying, Skeeter said, Jackie, he said, you know something? He said, if somebody told me that I had to get out of here, you know what I'd do? He said, you'd pack up and get out of here fast. He said, no. He said, Jackie, I think I'd sit down and bawl. He says, really? He said, you kind of like it? He said, this is like my second home. Jackie didn't say much. You know, Skeeter, that's the way I feel. He said, if somebody came in and said, pack your stuff and go on home, he said, I'd probably start crying. He said, and remember when we wanted to get out of here? Yeah, I said, I remember. He said, I wrote Tom a letter, he says, a while back. I told him we're staying. He said, that at least it'll make him happy. He says, yeah. He said, but I sure miss Pickles. He said, and Grandpa? Jackie says, me too. He said, but it won't be long. He said, school will be out and we'll go back home. Skeeter looked at Jackie. He said, Jackie, will you come back here next year? He said, just think, we'll be upperclassmen. And he said, some of these punks come in here and I yell, hey, you greenhorn, get over here. He said, boy, will I treat him rough. He says, about like Hugo treated you. Oh, we're friends with Hugo. We made a truce. Yeah, the rattlesnake and the kitten. Who the rattlesnake? You decide. I'm a little kitty. He said, Hugo the rattlesnake. So the next few days, the boys were informed by Mr. Woodward to study very hard, that on Friday was the final chemistry test to decide whether or not the boys could be on the basketball team. Mr. Woodward says, you boys that are on the team now practicing with us and so forth, unless your grades come up to at least a C minus, he says, you will be disqualified. He says, remember, we play the other academy very shortly. That's our big occasion when we play basketball, the final game with them. Last year, they won, but this year, I know that we're going to have a good group. He says, you know that Hugo Barnes was chosen as the captain of the team. He says, we'll put in a lot of time practicing, and we hope that we'll win the trophy this year. There was a great deal of commotion when class was dismissed. Everybody wanted to be on the team. They tried to be nice to Hugo, even Skeeter. He said, hey, Hugo, what do you want? He said, if my grades are up and everything, you think I could play on the team? He says, no. He said, you're too short. He said, you're not fast enough. He said, you're too clumsy. Is that all that's wrong with me? A few other little things. Jackie was standing right behind him. What about me, Hugo? He said, you're not bad, Jackie. He said, I think maybe I can use you on the team. And not me? He said, I told you, Greenhorn, you're too small, too short. He says, we're going to beat those guys this time. Jackie looked up, well, who's going to play? Well, I don't know. He says, I'll be playing, and Horace is going to play. He says, you, Jackie, that's three. He says, maybe that one of those new kids will play. He said, that little kid, he's no bigger than I am. Not him, the other one. Oh, you mean John? Yeah. He's pretty good. Who else? He says, I haven't decided. He says, I'll let you know in the next week or so. He says, but I'll tell you one thing. You guys better be practicing your chemistry is what you better be practicing. He says, if you flunk that, you're out. That evening, when Skeeter was doing his chemistry, he was having a lot of problems. The test was only a day away. Jackie was having problems too, and he worked and he worked and he worked. Finally, there was a knock at the door. The door slowly opened. Skeeter turned around and he said, I see you, Bowie, 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 Bowie. He says, psst, come here. Skeeter said, what do you want? He says, come here. He says, when they got out in the hall, he says, I'd like to play on the basketball team. You come to tell me, Dad? He said, I would too. He says, I can't get the chemistry. He said, tell me something new. He said, I can't get it either. He says, well, that's why I'm here. Asking me? I don't know anything. He says, no. He says, we've got to go visit the dome. Oh, yeah. Why didn't I think of that? The boy smiled at him. He's because you're stupid. How dare you talk to me like that? I was just joking. Well, you better. He says, you want to go tonight? He says, well, what do you think? He says, sure. He says, tonight. Bowie said, we should do that tonight, Skeeter. He says, yeah, because tomorrow is the test. And if we don't know any more than we do now, we're dead ducks. He says, come on, I'll tell Brandface that I'm going in your room. You tell Jackie you're going to yours. So the two of them set up the schedule like they had last time. They took their books with them and headed down the steps and on out the door and up towards the cemetery. In the meantime, Jackie was working very hard because he intended to pass the test. He just had to get on the team. So while he was studying and helping Mogai, down the hall, Hugo and Horace were also studying.
I don't understand this at all, Hugo. He said, how am I going to play basketball if I can't get it?
He says, you're not the only one. He says, I don't know. I used to be able to do pretty well, but he said, you know, I think that that little greenhorn Skeeter's getting on my nerves. He said, he bothers me.
He said, yeah. He said, I wish we'd get rid of him.
He said, yeah, and that Jackie, too. He says, the two of them. He said, if we could get rid of both of them, maybe we'd have some peace. Hey. Hey, horse. How would you like to get an A on the test?
Oh, sure. What do you mean?
He said, suppose the two of us got A's on the test.
Oh, come on now, you're daydreaming.
No, I'm not daydreaming. He said, didn't you see Mr. Woodworth take the test and the answer sheet and put it in the top drawer of his desk?
Well, sure, we all did.
He says, well,
I don't know what you're getting at, Hugo.
He says, all right, I'll spell it out for you. Look, we go downstairs.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Hugo. He said, we went down there once. You know, we got caught.
He said, we're not going to get caught this time. He said, because no one's going to see us.
He said, how do you know?
He said, because I'm going to check.
And what are you going to do?
He says, I'll go down, we'll get the answer sheet, copy the answers, and stick the answer sheet in Jackie's desk.
Yeah, he said, hey, he said, that's not a bad idea, Hugo. He said, we get an A and Jackie gets kicked off the team, huh?
He says, sure.
He said, what about the little runt?
Ah, he says, he doesn't know anything. He says, are you with me?
Well, he says, sure. He said, come on.
He said, just a minute. He says, get those shoes off.
He said, what for?
He says, because we don't want anybody to hear us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They took their shoes off. Hugo opened the door, looked up and down the hall. There wasn't a soul around. He didn't look hard enough because Brandface was in his room studying, and the door was slightly ajar. And Bowie, who usually puts the bird, Crackers, in the cage, had forgot to latch it. And Crackers at this time was pecking on the door, and it opened. And about the time Hugo and Horse started down the steps, Crackers was walking down the hall. Crackers saw them go down. He walked to the edge of the rail and looked over. He could see him go into the classroom. They tiptoed in, went to Mr. Woodward's desk, got the answer sheet, and in the dim light, copied the answers.
Over here, here's Jackie's desk.
He said, stick it way in the back. He says, like he was trying to hide it.
He said, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they stuck the answer sheet way in the back of Jackie's desk. The two of them tiptoed up the steps, not even noticing that Crackers was standing there watching. And all the way to their room and closed the door, sat down. He says, see? He says, now we've got A's. All we have to do is memorize the answers, and it's all set.
Yeah, he said, Hugo, he said, I don't know whether this is right, but he said, you sure can think of ideas.
He said, you stick with me, horse, and we'll go places. Crackers stuck his head to one side, then the other. And finally, as he went down the hall, he began to mumble to himself, Hugo did it, Hugo did it, Hugo did it. When he got to the door, Brandface says, hey, Crackers. Crackers was in the doorway. Hugo did it. Yeah, I know, Hugo does everything. Now get in that cage. How'd you get out of there? He picked him up and stuck him in the cage and locked him up. Hugo did it, Hugo did it. Oh, he said, be quiet. He said, how did you get out and where were you? He looked down the hall. There was no one there. He shrugged his shoulders and closed the door. He knew that Bowie was over at Jackie's place studying, not realizing that they were already on the porch of the Dome's house. But what they couldn't forget when they came through the graveyard, especially Skeeter remembered it, that where they had fallen into an open grave, next to that, there was a tombstone that said, here lies the wife of the Dome. And as they passed it that evening, right beside it, they saw another fresh grave without a marker. Skeeter didn't mention anything, but as he stood on this porch ready to hit the brass knocker, he wondered, why was there a grave, a fresh grave, right next to the wife of the dome? Skeeter, he says, it's your turn now, knock. I am. That grave, you know where you've, oh, he said, forget about that. He says, come on. He hit the brass knocker fairly loud. Nothing happened. He said, I got the willies. He says, come on. He said, we've got to get this. You want to play basketball? He says, sure I do. He knocked again. And all of a sudden, the door slowly opened. They could see a light streak across the porch. Yes? Good evening. He said, we're the boys from the school that were here before, and we want to see the dome. Oh, yes. And finally he held the light up higher, and they saw half of his face smiling. Why, yes, come in. Jackie looked at him. He remembered the words he told him before. Our Skeeter remembered the words he said before. Don't you ever come back here again. And now he was so friendly. Where is the dome? Oh, he's at home. Come in. As the boys walked past his deformed arm and leg, Skeeter could hear a small click in the lock of the door. And he saw something that Agar was sticking in his pocket. He says, well, it's nice that you boys came with only half his face smiling. He took him over to the fireplace where there was a fire burning. The boys looked around. We'd come to... We need some help with our work, and he said, is the dome busy? Agar stared at him. Oh, yes, he is busy. In fact, he's down in the laboratory. Bowie looked at Skeeter and then at Agar. Maybe we should come back some other time. No, he says, I'm sure he will be glad to see you. In fact, I'm rather glad that you came. Oh, really? Well, of course, we like visitors. Shall we go down to the laboratory now? Well, if he's down there and we don't want to bother him. It's no bother. Come. They heard the thump and the drag, and as he went down the steps, they heard him behind them. And finally, when they got to the door, Agar reached up with his one strong arm, turned the knob. He says, go on in. The boys went in. The dome isn't here. Isn't that strange? He said, he must have gone out after something. Sit down. He says, he'll be back pretty soon. The boys sat down on a chair. Skeeter knew there was something terribly wrong. Mr. Agar said, if you don't mind, we'll be going now because we're late. So certainly you don't intend to leave without seeing the dome? Said, I think so because we're late and they're going to be expecting us. So thank you so much and we'll be leaving now. Sit down! Hey, yes, sir. He says, now that's better. He reached up for a rope. He says, now put your hands behind you. Yes, sir. He tied their hands behind the chair and around the chair. He says, now you are my first experiments.
What about?
He went over to the book. He says, now this is my book, The Secrets of Life and Death, and you are my final experiments. He reached up for the big hypodermic needle. He says, now, if this works, he says, I will rule the world. I will control every human body in it. Excuse me, you're crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy. He says, look at me.
He said, yes, sir.
He says, you know who did this to me? He says, the dome. Bowie looked up. He said, he told us that you were the one that came in here and he locked it up and you were messing around and you blew yourself up. No. He says, sure, he locked it and told me to stay out. But he's cheating on me. I've helped. I've worked. I get no credit. A lot of this stuff in this book is mine. And now it's all mine. Skeeter looked up. Mr. Agar, where is the dome? Agar, with half his face smiling, looked down. The dome is dead. Skeeter let out a scream. He said, that's that fresh grave. Skeeter looked at Agar, who was now half smiling. He said, you killed him. Yes. Look what he did to me. He says, now I have the secrets of life and death. One more experiment. He reached up for the big hypodermic needle. He said, now this won't hurt.
He said, what are you going to do?
He says, I'm going to take a sample of blood and extract the spirit out of your body. Skeeter saw him coming over. He took a piece of cotton, rolled up his sleeve, Skeeter's sleeve, rubbed it on his arm, and before Skeeter knew what was going on, he saw blood going into the big hypodermic needle. Skeeter's eyes rolled, and he fainted. Agar just smiled, with only half of his face smiling. He went over to Bowie. He says, you are next. He says, now watch me carefully. He began to mix a greenish blue liquid in a saucepan, and then he put it in a test tube, and then he began to shake it. Bowie watched. And all of a sudden, that's it. It must be it. I have extracted the spirit from his body. He says, now. Skeeter began to groan. Oh. Bowie looked at him. Skeeter, wake up. Skeeter opened his eyes. He said, what happened? He says, he's going to do an experiment with your spirit. Skeeter watched. Agar looked at him. He says, now, my friend, he says, you will feel pain like you've never felt pain before. He says, I shall put a few drops of your spirit into this saucer. Then I shall take the hydrochloric acid and let one drop fall into the saucer. You will suffer pain, and that's how I control the world, no matter where you are. All I need to do is take down this little bottle with your spirit into it, put it in a saucepan and drop one little drop of hydrochloric acid, and you will come running as fast as you can to me, and I will be the ruler of the world.
He said, you're mad.
Mad am I? No, just the ruler of the world. He says, now for the experiment. Skeeter watched him get the hydrochloric acid in a little eyedropper. Agar cautioned, watch carefully. And Skeeter looked and saw this one drop hanging on the end of the eyedropper. And all of a sudden, it came down, splattering into the saucepan. Agar looked. And he looked again. What's wrong? He says, you're in pain.
He said, no, I'm not.
Agar started leafing through his nose. Something went wrong. Something went wrong. He began to pound his fists on the table and the test tubes began to shake. He says, something was wrong. He said, you just don't know what you're doing. You're mad. He says, no, I'm not mad. He says, we got to try it again. He looked at Bowie. No, please, not me. He says, I don't think I even have a spirit. No, everybody does. He says, something went wrong. In all the commotion, Skeeter was jumping around, bouncing around in his chair, and all of a sudden he felt one of the ropes on his wrist loosen. And when Agar was going over his notes, he said, boy, he said, I think my hands are loose. He says, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to scoot over towards you and untie you. He says, then we'll run. He says, okay. So Skeeter nudged over, and sure enough, he pulled his hand right out of the ropes and began to untie Bowie. Skeeter looked at him. He said, don't act surprised or anything. He said, pretend you're tied. And he says, when I say go, we'll go. Finally, he untied his feet and his hands. Agar was still pounding the disc. There's something wrong, something. He says, one little thing must be. And all of a sudden, he says, I think I've got it. Yes, yes. He turned around. He said, now, boy, now. And the two boys jumped up, went to the door, opened it, and start running up the steps, all the way to down the hall. Skeeter had remembered the click. When they entered, the door was locked. They could hear a thump and a drag and a thump and a drag and a thump and a drag and a thump and a drag. And finally they looked down the hall. There was Agar standing in the other end of it. He says, come back, boys. He says, you can't escape. He says, you can't escape. He said, what are we going to do? He says, I suppose he's got the key.